Hello, I'm Douglas Kretz. I'm the host of the BizSpark Show, where we're talking with the world's newest startups that are building great things with the help of Microsoft BizSpark's no-cost software program. Today, we're going to be talking with Kushal Shah, who is a recent graduate of the June Windows Azure Techstars Accelerator in Seattle, and he's built a company called OFunnel. But before we get right to him and talk about his biography and how he built the company, I'll just let you guys know that if you're at all following the TechCrunch Disrupt conference, it goes into its last day on Wednesday tomorrow. And at 1:45, if you'd like to see what our Microsoft Hackathon team has built, they're going to be presenting their third place finish app called AdFree, which allows site owners to pay or deliver revenue to their site by leasing out CPU cycles to their visitors or to people who are using a neural network or some kind of massive network to get computing problems solved. So it's an interesting challenge to advertisers out there, I'm sure, but it definitely is an interesting disruption of a really old web publishing model, which is to derive revenue from ad visits and clicks. So without further ado, it's really exciting to talk to a man I met at a poker game in Seattle recently. His name is Kushal Shah. And Kushal, can you tell us a little bit about your really long history, actually, in technology? You worked for Microsoft. And then tell me about OFunnel and what it is and what it does.
Sure. So first of all, thank you. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Microsoft BizSpark, for providing us this opportunity. We appreciate that.
No problem.
Good afternoon, everybody out there. So about me, yes, 7 years at Microsoft. I have been various roles, starting from development, program management, and product management. And recently left Microsoft to start on this venture called OFunnel with my co-founder, Van Chappell. And what OFunnel is, in one line, it is about we allowing people and businesses to track their expanding network for the sales and business growth.
Mm. And let me stop you there. Is this a sort of social API based product, or is this something where people are going to be using some other software to generate leads and put them into the system? Could you explain a little bit more about how OFunnel works so we know what we're dealing with?
Absolutely. So See, today what happens, Doug, is we all are on social media, and our network is expanding. It's the connections we are making and the connections my connections are making. So the entire my network is expanding big time every day. Like on an average, it's like 200 connections new almost every day.
And you're talking about the whole sort of big four platforms, right? LinkedIn,
Twitter, Facebook,
right.
Google Plus, yes. And so, but what happens is, in sales or business development, you have no idea of how big this network is so that you can leverage that network for your business growth and so that you do not have to make that dreaded cold call.
Right.
And that's step one. But what happens, Doug, is even if, say, a sales guy figures out what his network is, he doesn't know that when he's trying to reach at a company, his IT guy probably has a great connection there, or somebody in marketing has a great connection within that company. So today, this teams of salespeople are not able to leverage the network of the entire company for the business growth. And that's exactly where we want to help them.
I got it. So I kind of got this idea that, you know, I've heard about this before. You know, you have some competitors in this space. I mean, there's Nimble, I think, is very similar to something like this, but they're focused more on the actual CRM tool part of it. You're talking about how every network member that you have is probably filled with other networks that you don't know about, and you want to kind of bring them into the funnel, so to speak, to parse out exactly who those people are and how to get to them, right? By following their interests or getting some aspect of their themes in line with all of your salespeople and your marketing people, so that whatever OFunnel sits in, whether it's a shoe company or a sports company, they know exactly what to say when and how to say it. Does the tool, because I'm not familiar with the tool in a sort of a CRM capacity, does it operate in a CRM capacity? Is there a sort of, does it exist as a platform where you can actually send out messages, receive messages through there, or is it more of an informatics tool or an analysis tool?
Sure. So to give you a couple of answers, so starting with Nimble, right? Like what Nimble is good at is contextual data. So for example, what is your contact doing today? Or what a specific company, what their press release is about.
Right.
What Ofunnel is focusing exclusively and very much on is about relationships. So trying to figure out, if I'm trying to reach a company like, say, Nike, what are the relationships that exist out there today that I can leverage so that I don't have to make the cold call?
Right.
To answer your second part of the question in terms of the CRM, yes, we have integrated with CRM as well. So the way we think about Ofunnel is opening the funnel. So how can we give you insights, alerts, and analytics about your relationships so that we can open your funnel with a bunch of leads that is required for your business growth? That's how we think about it.
So how did this come about? I mean, what was the problem that you saw? Was it just the, you know, the massive amounts of people data out there that you didn't know how to search through and organize, or was this something else that was happening in partnership or in conversations with your partners that made you think that this was the tool that you needed to build?
Sure, yeah. So let me answer that question. So basically, as a team, as I said, my co-founder, Van Chappell, he has extensive sales background. So he has done sales for 12 years, and he exactly understands the pain of the salespeople having to make all those dreaded sales calls and stuff like that. And me, this is my second startup. In my previous startup also, I have been focused a lot on relationships and how they can be leveraged for business growth. So together, when we both came, we said, like, this is something we want to help for the salespeople with relationships and how to make sense of them and how to leverage them. Mm-hmm. And then this is, again, where the Microsoft Accelerator came into picture, because really, they helped us a lot in terms of the customer development and what we call as a lean startup cycle. Mm-hmm. So going out there, understanding the customer pain points in this space, figuring out what problems exist, and then coming up with solutions and showing it to them and continue to iterate over that.
What is that experience like? When you talk about customer development, what is that like for somebody who maybe hasn't done customer development before? In other words, Kushal, what kind of tips would you give a person who maybe doesn't have access to the accelerator or is hopeful to be in an accelerator? How does the process of customer development work, or specifically, how did it work with your team?
Sure. So, okay, a couple of answers. The first is, how did it work for us? And then I'll take a step back and probably give some tips out of that. For us, as I said, with the help of Microsoft Accelerator, it was very helpful because they took us into this whole mental model of how to go about customer development and how to go about talking to customers. A simple tip to give, right? For example, mm-hmm. you have to ask the customer why 5 times before you probably figure out what his problem is.
Why is that?
If you just ask that, hey, what is your biggest pain point today? They will give you a reason. But then to peel the onion and to get to the actual bottom of it, it takes not just 1, 2, or 3, but 5 times. You have to ask them, what was the issue there? But why didn't you do it that way? Why didn't you think about it this way? Why was so much time spent on this? And that's when you will figure out the problem.
So how does that play out? Because I've heard of this kind of questioning before. I mean, I'm familiar with the customer development model. There's also this model called jobs to be done, and what they do in that scenario, it's started by Clayton Christensen at Harvard Business School. They also ask persistent questions. First of all, the questions are mostly like, how do you, you know, play a movie in your head about the struggle that you just experienced, and then that helps people build a mental model of how to shape the solution. My question is, again, a two-part question, I guess. Are you familiar with that model? Is it something like that? And number two, how do you do that kind of questioning without really pissing off your customer, who probably has not a lot of time and needs to get this other stuff done?
I see. So actually, I don't know the model that you talked about. But in terms of, yes, you have to be careful that you do not piss off the other person. Mm-hmm. And one way to do that is keep a very open mind. You have to show to the customer that you're genuinely interested in understanding his problem and will make a honest attempt to solve it.
Right.
If you are trying to be defensive at any point, you're just going to aggravate the situation and he is going to shut down immediately.
Let me go back into that sincerity. What was it about your application, you think? I mean, besides your previous tech experience, what was it sort of like about your team's emotional makeup or their character makeup that you think was critical to you getting into that program? Do you think that there are things that stand out, like things that you might suggest other startup founders to showcase when they're building an application for a Techstars accelerator program or any other accelerator program?
So one thing certainly in terms of the team, right? What you will see is that with me being the product guy and Van coming from the sales and business development background, that was an ideal combination as such, because any accelerator program, Techstars, Microsoft Accelerator, they're looking for teams which can bring different perspectives, diversity in. Mm. And in that respect, Van and I couldn't have been more different.
Right.
So that I think was very important. And another question that you asked in terms of what else is Techstars looking for or what when you are building the application, it is about keeping the open mind and being persistent about it. Mm. It's not going to be the case that in the first go, you will figure out the customer problem and the right solution for it. So being able to keep an open mind, iterate till you come to something which the customer says, that makes sense, or it starts resonating. Mm-hmm. That's what they're looking for at the end of the day.
Do you stay in touch with a lot of your early customer development customers, the ones that you did the resource calls with? I mean, how many of those, or is there a large percentage of those that actually end up being your customers?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. Those are the people who are going to be the most patient with you. Mm. So you never, ever, ever want to lose them. So
How do you keep them in? How do you keep them in the fold, in the family, so to speak?
Yeah, so one of the things that we do here is, Doug, when we start, let's take an example, right? Like we heard their problem and then we came up with a solution. And then first three times it happened that they didn't like our solution. So we continued to iterate over that. So first of all, they're seeing that hey, that we heard their feedback and are changing it. They like that. And the next thing is, even with a very simple thing which starts resonating, building the features, right? So what we do is, on a bi-weekly basis, we send a small survey with just three bullets saying, we are thinking about these features. Mm-hmm. Can you quickly prioritize them for us? And you won't believe it, but we have a very good hit rate with them, with our early customers. They tell us, because it's like they have to just write ABC or BCA or CAB or none. And that's pretty much it.
Interesting. Okay. So let's call this your email campaign, if you will, sort of retention campaign. You're not just telling them stuff. You're asking them to give you more and more information, right?
Exactly.
That's
crucial. You tell us what
you
want, the product, and we will build that. So, and if you are doing that, those people will be like, these guys are sincere. These guys are genuine. They're really trying to help me. And mm-hmm. anybody, you will be surprised how much people want to help you.
So let me ask you, I mean, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. Let me ask you something maybe more sort of bigger picture. Have you seen, because obviously you're working with your partner in this sort of sales and marketing lead generation field, have you seen any kind of move from advertising that is sincere or marketing that is sincere and more into something like questions that are sincere, answers that are sincere, actual dialogue between customers and client or customers and brand? I imagine if you're building, so you have like an integrated CRM into your platform, you're trying to derive leads out of social communication, I'm assuming, because of all the connection points with the four big platforms. Is there any kind of move you think that's going to prefer the communication and the dialogue in a kind of CRM environment over just having a message to say or having a good sales campaign, so to speak? I mean, is it getting more granular, I guess, for salespeople?
So let me try to answer this question. I'm not sure if I will be exactly answering to your question.
My question may be completely ridiculous. So yeah.
So I'll tell you one experience, right?
Okay.
See, as a startup, we have to be very judicious with how we are spending our money. And one thing that we have found is, especially in our scenario for sales and our product is for sales and business development, that finding these partners or channels where we can put out our off-funnel product is very important. It's very, very important, rather than just traditional means of marketing through LinkedIn ads or Twitter ads or Google ads. Finding those channel partners and working with them together hand in hand to release your product is very important. And I'll give you a small statistic that I heard about yesterday. Like Hootsuite, which is one of the premier social media monitoring tool.
Yeah, we use Hootsuite, very happy with it. Go ahead.
Great. So what I've heard is that people who build an app on top of the Hootsuite are getting at least 150 signups per day, which is great. I mean, and which is certainly going to be more than the acquisition cost for us if we go the other traditional marketing routes.
Hmm.
So that way, this kind of partnership, and we are also working in this regard with Microsoft for different kinds of partnerships, mm-hmm. so that we can promote our app and get it the necessary exposure required.
Yeah,
does that answer your question?
It does. Sure. I mean, I can see what you're saying too. You know, I think of this as more of like a conversation to kind of feel out what this space really looks like. I mean, for us as well in Microsoft, so we sort of have both of those opportunities, right? So clearly there are product suites that people can use that are in the Microsoft stack that can help get the word out there. There are channels that they can use. BizSpark is a channel. And then we also have the more integrated stuff, the more depth stuff, like the Microsoft Ventures program, right? We have these accelerators. There's one that just opened in London. They're taking applications for. There's been one in Tel Aviv that's been going on. Paris called Spark Lab or something like that. And I totally get where you're going, but I think maybe for those at home who are listening, what is the difference, though, between these traditional channels and what we might call these more social channels or innovative channels? Like, where do you draw the line? I think you were thinking of things like advertisements, right? But this is really interesting, this Hootsuite example where you're talking about building an app on that actual platform. What is that all about? Like, could you maybe put a little finer point on that for people?
So in the case of Hootsuite, for example, I'll give you that specific example, and then we can take a step back and think about it in a broader perspective.
Okay.
But in case of Hootsuite, what we want to do is people, they are very much focused on the conversations out there, and they want to track them and be able to react to them. And we and Hootsuite provides a very robust API platform on which we can build apps for them. So, and you can see a bunch of apps starting from YouTube, Gmail, and a few more.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is, if we build an app, O-Funnel, where people can say that these are the networks that they're trying to, or these are the companies they're trying to reach at, and we track using the social data out there, and present that in the Hootsuite news feed, as we call it, then we immediately get exposure, and we immediately are in the workflow of the people, because that is very, very, very critical.
What does that mean? What does that mean exactly? Tell me more.
Absolutely. So, see, what happens is, a traditional user, or traditional anybody, right, they are used to doing certain things in a certain way. Now, if you bring about a product which asks them to do something different,
mm-hmm.
you immediately have a resistance point. So, and convincing the users to change their habits is very difficult. So every time our what we strive to do is, how can we take OFunnel into what the existing workflow of the user is? The user, the salesperson, spends his life in the CRM system. So being there is of very much of importance. A business development guy or a marketing guy is in Hootsuite, for example, a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So being there is very much important. So
yeah. let me say that this is what I was trying to get at before. This is really compelling to me. So it used to be, I hammer this point on down a lot of times when I'm talking with, like, doing startup workshops about social media marketing. You had to frame the message to fit the medium, right? Because the medium created the message in a way. It formed it. So I was talking about earlier when in terms of advertisements and in sort of traditional way, when you wanted to advertise something, you only had a few channels just 25 or 30 years ago, right? You had cable TV. You didn't have cable TV. You had pay. You had unpaid TV. You had, like, terrestrial TV broadcasters. You had newspaper, magazine advertisements, bulletins. You had email, right? So when you sent something out, it had to be very generalized. It had to be sincere in a way that a lot of people would think about it and connect to it. And so they were used to seeing it on a magazine, and so it had to be very compelling the way a magazine would present it to them. But what you're saying with Hootsuite is absolutely what I was trying to say. It's perfect, and you're spot on. The CRM guy, the guy in CRM, is going to spend his whole life, basically his sales life, looking through all that data in a granular way or talking to those people in a granular way. If you're trying to insert the OFunnel solution in there, you don't really have to do it and package it with message. You have to do it and package it with form, right? You have to put it in and make it part of the tool. And that is, I think that is critical for anyone doing a bootstrap. And you have those dev tools with you. Think about the form in which the message is supposed to exist, right?
Exactly, exactly. And again, another word you used here was the bootstrap part, right? Because if you are a bootstrapped company and we have some seed funding, so making sure that you're not spending enormous resources and money in getting people to change their habits, you cannot do that. And so you always have to strive for being part of the workflow. And that's what we are trying to do, partnering with various channels out there.
All right. So let's talk about what's next as we get closer to the end of the interview. What are you guys doing next? Are you launching any new partners or partnerships with people? What can we expect from you guys in the next 3 or 4 months?
Absolutely. So first of all, our OFunnel product is in beta. It has been launched. So guys, everybody listening out there, you should go ahead, try it out, www.ofunnel.com. And what we have done is we now have a good, robust product pipeline based on what we are hearing from the customers. So we are bringing that in the next couple of months. And we are fundraising for our next angel round. So that's our goal, that through this fall season, we raise the next round so that it helps us scale the product and build a complete offering that we can go ahead and start with our revenues.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's been really great to talk to you. And what I hope to do next is follow up with you maybe at the beginning of next year and just find out what's happened. And you said it a little bit, and some of these details are in the live stream page. But if people want to get in touch with you directly, how did they find you online?
Absolutely. So our website, as I said, www.ofunnel.com. If you want to get in touch with me, it's kushal@ofunnel.com, kushal@ofunnel.com. You can also tweet @ofunnel. And yeah, I look forward to hearing your feedback about OFunnel.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great, Kushal. That's awesome. Perfect. So it's been a pleasure to talk to you. You've been watching the BizSpark show, the BizSpark channel. We're very pleased to be servicing over 54,000 startups in the startup ecosystem. If you have questions about us and you want to get in touch with us directly, you can always tweet us @BizSpark. You can always send us an email, bizspark@microsoft.com. And you can certainly get in touch with me, your host, Douglas Kretz, @DouglasKretz on Twitter. And I will usually, probably within the next 30 milliseconds, get back in touch with you. Thanks for watching. And Kushal, I wish you all the best. And we look forward to seeing you next year early on.
Yep, I was saying thank you. Thank you so much, Doug, and thank you so much, Microsoft, for providing us this opportunity.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.